All right. Good morning and good to see everybody always. Welcome to Calvary Chapel of Chapel Hill. If you need a Bible and you do not have one, raise your hand and our lovely usher will get one to you. Any takers? Any takers? He's got a big stack. Oh, we got one. Woohoo. All right. And you can keep it if you want. So he's good. He's good, he says. All right. Before we dig into this morning, I want to bring Pastor David up, who's going to share a little update from one of the ways we were able to our fellowship help out in India. So come on up.
Well, as you know, our church has been very involved in ministry in India for the last 7 years, and we do a number of things to support what they're doing there. And one of the things we were able to do that actually perhaps saved a life or contributed to the saving of a life, PGT, our partner up in Bagdogra, they have what they call evangelism teams. What Vince has you guys doing on Saturday nights in on Franklin Street, they do 24/7 every day of the year, it seems, with multiple teams of people that go out and minister in these villages and share the gospel. And one of their evangelism team members, a young lady by the name of Sabina, she had kidney disease and she needed a kidney transplant very badly. And she didn't have the money to have that done. And I just want to look you all in the eye and tell you that your contributions to this church paid for her operation. And she has successfully come through that operation, and she will soon be back to sharing the gospel in India. And we got this very nice note to all of you from Mom and Joseph, who is the principal minister there in PGT in Bagdogra. And he writes to all of you. He says, "Greetings. Once again, we deeply thank you for your sincere prayers and support for Sabina's kidney transplant. By God's grace, her operation went well, and she has now been discharged from the hospital. She is staying nearby for follow-up care. Both Sabina and her brother, who generously donated his kidney, are doing well. They have asked me to convey their heartfelt gratitude to you all for your love, your prayers, and support. The PGT team also wishes to extend their thanks for making her operation possible. Sabina, one of our dedicated outreach team members, is looking forward to resuming her active role in ministry soon." So again, you're all very much a part of, yes, give yourselves a hand, give the Lord a hand. You're all very much a part of what God is doing in India, and the means by which he gives you to help others is touching another part of the world 9,000 miles away. So again, be blessed, and thank you, Lord, for your wonderful provision.
Amen. Amen. And following that suit, we also had the ability as a church, same thing with the support that you guys are doing, to help out in Manipur. As we know from the trip that Pastor David, Dan, and Ava go, they weren't able to go there because it's so dangerous right now. And there are several refugees, and we are able and we're funding refugees for 25 days with a gift of $10,000 that's going to be able to help them be taken care of in the midst of the persecution that's going on. So just yet again, realize, you know, we can talk about the things that we're doing and the ministry partners that we have, and you can think, oh, well, what am I doing? One, as I reminded us, praying for these trips and the seeds that are planted is vital, but we're actively engaged and involved, and it's a blessing to be able to do that from our little corner. We're extending our arms out, which is such a gift. And one other ministry partner update, Free in Christ Prison Ministries. We're going to be having the baptism at Dan River. Pastor Jeff said to me beforehand, I got a date, finally. So that's another praise the Lord. And I was at Caswell Friday night, and one of the young men there, Stephen, gave his life to the Lord on Friday night. So again, let's just give praise to the Lord for all the different things we're able to do for his glory. Please keep in prayer our precious sister Lynn Williams. Her husband Ken went home to the Lord. So please just continue to keep her in our prayers and just tend and minister to her during this time. And on a happy note, if you could do me a favor, because that individual is currently teaching, but yesterday was Michelle Marini's 70th birthday. And just want to say, you know, just wishing happy birthdays to her, because again, this precious couple as the ones who the Lord called to found this church and get everything started, now doing this, the role of a pastor's wife is so vital and crucial. And the selfless humility that she serves with relentlessly till this day. If you're here early, she's running around doing everything. It's just such a gift and blessing. So wish her happy birthday. Sing happy birthday jigs, whatever you want to do. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the chance to gather together in your house, Lord. Father, thank you that Sabina's surgery went well. We continue to pray for the work that she and the others are doing, getting the gospel out, Lord Jesus. Strengthen them and equip them with the boldness that only comes through your spirit, Lord Jesus. Father, be with those refugees in Manipur and be with Ken and the team as they serve them, Lord Jesus, and try to minister to them amidst these times. And Father God, we do also lift up our precious sister Lynn. Be with her, Lord Jesus, during this time. Hold her in your arms, Heavenly Father. And thank you for just the peace that she was able to have in that moment. And Lord God, we just come to you now as we prepare to dig into your word. And Lord, we come with hearts of thanksgiving for the gift of your word, for the power of your word, for the simplicity of your word. And Lord Jesus, we ask right now that anything that is on our mind that's not of you, that's not about you, that we'd push it aside, that you'd help us, Lord, to just focus solely now on you, our King. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray this. Amen. So last week, we were in the garden, and we were continuing in the prayer that we saw our Savior pray. So we finished John 17 and we're in John 18 and we were able to see the prayer in the garden, and then we saw the arrest that took place. And we looked at what happened in the arrest last week when they came to the garden and took him. Judas's betrayal fulfilled. And when we saw how this arrest took place, they came, and if you recall, we talked about how they came with such force and might. They came with, it would either have been as little as 200 or as big as almost 1,300 for one man, Jesus. They came with lanterns and torches as though they were going to have to hunt him out and try to find him, and they've got all their weapons because they're ready to fight. But he humbly takes it and goes forth boldly, as we see, in humility to God the Father, in obedience to what must be done. We looked and talked about the two different gardens because we know in the first garden, we saw what took place with the first Adam. Sin entered in, and when God came, he hid. But the second Adam conquers sin and boldly moves forward into the will of God the Father. Charge check-in from last week. How did you do reflecting on selfishness? Because we saw Judas's motives quite selfish here. We looked at what he says when he goes to them to talk about betraying Jesus. What will you give me? What do I get out of this? Because it's about me. How'd you do searching on selfishness? How did you do thinking about the cup that you hold in your hand? Is it one that you've prepared yourself, or is it the will of God the Father, and you're walking forward in obedience to him? And something that keeps coming up over and over again, how are you doing with being in the word and prayer? How are you doing with that? That you be prepared for whatever may come. Because we saw, and I brought up the prayer at the start, because we can't forget when the arrest takes place, the prayer of John 17, the prayer, nevertheless, not your will, but mine, but yours, Father. Not my will, but yours. We can't forget the power of prayer, and our King modeled it. How are you with the word and prayer? And are you willing to boldly move forward in humility and obedience to God the Father, as Jesus did? Or would you hide in fear? Today we're going to be going on and we're going to be looking at John, and we're going to be in chapter 18 still, verses 15 to 27. And as we go through, we're actually going to approach verses 19 to 24 next week, but we're going to look at them a little bit in the context of what we're looking at today. And the title of today's message is denial. Denial. And when we think of the church today, when we think of many believers today, you could almost say there's a dichotomy taking place where we're either moving forward as denial and in denying Peter, or we're moving forward boldly and the boldness after Peter's restoration and filling with the Holy Spirit to do the will of God. Our culture is in denial of the Lord God Almighty. I think we can all agree on that. Okay? And then we look at some statistics I want to just share from one research group, Lifeway Research, and it was interesting to see these because half of Americans, 51%, say they're curious as to why people are devoted to a faith or to some faith. And even those who in this survey said they have no real affiliation, 60% were curious to hear and learn about one's faith. Between the ages of 18 to 34, 61%. Between the ages of 35 to 49, 55%. Between the ages of 50 to 64, 43%. And 65 and older, 40%. Then what was interesting, two-thirds of Americans, 66%, are at least open to specifically discussing the Christian faith with a friend. 65% are open to talking with a friend about a relationship with God. And then they found 6 out of 10 Americans, 60%, say many of their friends who claim to be Christians rarely, if ever, talk about their faith. And it's interesting when you look at that. And they point and they go on to talk about how folks are, there's a fear in sharing faith. There's a fear of putting oneself out there to really dig deep and say, let me tell you about my relationship with Jesus. Yet, if we put the sermon slide back up, we've got to think about something because there's two fires that we can be with. We can be with the Lord's fire, the fire of the Holy Spirit that is within us, that works in and through us. Or we can be with the world's fire, which is temporal, which is going to burn out. And without Jesus, ends in a fire that rekindles but lasts forever in hell. That's the dichotomy. That's the two options that we have. So as we look at the denial of Peter, I encourage us to prayerfully ponder, where may there be denial in me? Because we have to engage with the double-edged sword. We can't just let, when we come to the Word of God, it be this intellectual exercise that we cut off from the heart. So may our Father search us this morning. And may we prayerfully, truly ponder how our relationship is with us. We're here to learn, to grow, to be edified, and then to go out and do His work, to pray with and for one another. May we do that this morning. Amen. Stand with me and let's read John 18. We'll read all together and we'll just read for right now verses 15 to 18 of John 18 all together. We read, "And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priest and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door outside. Then the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to her who kept the door and brought Peter in. Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, 'You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?' He said, 'I am not.' Now the servants and officers who had made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself." Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word always, Lord Jesus. And Father, as we see this moment that you said would come of Peter's denial, Heavenly Father, help us to glean what you would like from these verses. Lord Jesus, I ask through your Spirit you would empower me and help me to humbly be out of the way and to prayerfully give each word that is needed for your tender sheep this morning. Lord, I ask that you help us to take any ideas we already may have of this text and put it on pause to see afresh what you would have, Lord, from your word. Lord Jesus, help us to not shy away from any conviction you may bring, for any areas you may break our hearts for the lost, or for any, Lord, that we know that are denying you, Lord, to be in prayer that the prodigals would come back to the foot of the cross. Lord Jesus, have your way. Teach us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray this. Amen. Grab a seat. So we know King Jesus made clear this moment was going to take place. So before we examine the denial, let's think about what leads to the denial. Because we have to understand and realize the denial, what's taking place, it's a lie. Lying, is that a sin? Yes or no? Okay, good. You passed the test. So lying is a sin. We know this. And there's deeper depths of what is taking place in the sin here. And when we see that, we have to ask ourselves, okay, what led to this moment? Now, we know the beginning of all sin that we see. Where does that start? The garden. Starts in Genesis. It starts in us seeing sin enter because of the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, not being able to be turned away as the enemy distorts the word of God, and boom, sin enters. And we are now in a fallen world. And there is a Savior. There is one who has come and is coming again to bring salvation. Yet each and every single one of us have to reconcile the fact that we still have moments where we fall short. And if we're truly honest, we probably all can empathize with those moments of denial. Because when we deny in word, but we also deny in how we live, in what we say. If we think of Acts chapter 11, the end of Acts chapter 11, we read, "And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch." They're called Christians because they're seeking and they're trying to be just like Jesus. They're trying to be like this Jesus Christ that was there. And many of us call ourselves Christians. Yet, we may say, "I'm a Christian," but does the aspect of how you live reveal that you're a Christian? Or does the way you live in some moments deny being a Christian? Your thought life, what you think, if we had a reel of every single thought, do any thoughts deny Christ? So we think about this as we look at this, and we first start, as I said, to see what led up to this. So if we think back to John 13, when we're in that upper room and we're present there, and if we look there at John 13, verse 36, John 13, verse 36, "Simon Peter said to him, 'Lord, where are you going?' Jesus answered him, 'Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward.' Peter said to him, 'Lord, why can't I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake.' Jesus answered him, 'Will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times.'" And Mark, again, as I said, it's always good with the Gospels to look at the different accounts of one moment, because we get different nuggets of information. It's like a little treasure chest where you get the full picture. And if we go to Mark 14 and we look at this same encounter, we see in verse 29, actually go back to 27, "Then Jesus said to them, 'All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee.' Peter said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But he spoke more vehemently, "If I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said likewise. Now, if we think of Peter's heart here, it's a heart that's desiring to say, "I'm all in, Jesus. I got you, I got you, I got you." But there's something else taking place there. He's got a little too much confidence in himself. "I'm not going to do it. I got this. I got this. I got you, bro." A lot of I. There's not a lot of surrender when our first words are I. So we see the denial is predicted, and it's predicted in a moment where what's leading to the denial is starting. He's a little too confident in self. Now, if we continue onwards and we see when they get into the garden, we'll stay in Mark because we're already there. Look at verse 37. We looked at this prayer, and when we looked at it, we stayed in Matthew 26, but we looked at how Jesus says, "Be with me. Stay here. Watch. Pray." To John, Peter, and James. And then in verse 37, we see, "Then he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, 'Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.' And again, he went away and prayed and spoke the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. Then he came the third time and said to them, 'Are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand.'" So there's an overconfidence. And then we see what takes place. There's a lack of prayer. He's told, "Watch and pray. Watch and pray." And he hits to what we saw just a little bit earlier. "The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak, Peter. The flesh is weak. You must watch and pray." But there's no prayer because he's sleepy. And we can relate to that idea of being sleepy. But I don't know about you, if Jesus said to me, "Watch and pray," I really pray that I'd watch and pray. This is the King of the world. But in this moment, he's just like us, human. But that overconfidence is riding in, not really heeding the words that the Lord God Almighty has been giving him. And think of everything else he would have heard, the times that the king was saying, "I'm going to be going. I'm not going to be with you anymore." The wheels weren't turning. And then when he's told, "Watch and pray," he sleeps. "Are you really asleep? Man, come on, watch and pray, watch and pray." That's when he should have done the, "All right." Nope. He still sleeps. He still sleeps. And then when they come to arrest, we saw Jesus goes forward. He walks into it because he's being obedient to God the Father, because in this same prayer of the garden, the decision has been made, "I'm doing it for you and you alone, my heavenly Father." Yet we see what Peter does. Verse 47. "And one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear." We know from John who that is. It's Peter. It's Peter. And we know the Lord in his grace and mercy restores it. But what takes place is he's not listening to Jesus. So we can see how this stage to the denial takes place. He's not taking those warnings in. He's looking at, I got this. I'm confident. I'm with you, Jesus. I'm with you, Jesus. I'm with you, Jesus. I'm not really going to pray right now, but I'm with you. I'm not going to pray right now, but I'm with you. And then the moment comes. Prayer is not a default. He hasn't been listening to what the Lord God says, so he takes it in his own hands. Hi-ya! Gotcha. But that's how often what we do, brothers and sisters. The Lord's given us his whole counsel, the word of God. We have it. Yet there are times and moments in our lives, if we're honest with ourselves, we take it, we close it, we put it on the shelf. And then suddenly prayer becomes something that I don't really have that time to do. I'm really busy. You don't understand, I'm busy. I have a job, I have kids, I'm busy. And then suddenly something comes up and we make a decision and we say, whoa, how did I end up here? How did I get here? We all have to be weary of denial. So we go to our text now, John 18, and we look at verse 15. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priest and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. Now it's pretty much agreed upon that that disciple that we're mentioning here is John, who will refer to himself in this gospel but not mentioned by name. We can wonder how he would know the high priest, perhaps as a fisherman. There were some ties with providing fish there. We're not 100% sure or told. But John knows the inner folks there, so he's able to bring them, and he's able to come forth with Peter. And when they get there, what does Peter do? Verse 16, Peter stood at the door outside. Then the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out, spoke to her who kept the door, and brought Peter in. So we get something here. This other disciple's known by them, known as a disciple. And is going in. Yet we see Peter doesn't then just say, okay, I mean, I guess if John's going in, all right, I'm going to go in with him and we're owning this. Cool. But no. Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, you are not also one of this man's disciples, are you? And notice, who's coming? It's not like there's a huge guard with a sword that can kill him in that moment saying, are you with Jesus? It's a servant girl who keeps the door, just saying, are you also one of the disciples? Are you with him too? Many ways he could have responded in that moment. Yet what he says, I am not. Very simple. Three words, but a lot of weight to them. I am not. Now the servants and officers who had made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. Remember, we found out who came to do the arrest, servants and officers. So these are ones who, some of them were probably present during the arrest, and now they're there, they're warming themselves by a fire. Peter's denied, and now Peter stood with them and warmed himself. It's interesting because he just has that first denial. No, I'm not. And maybe if I could just blend in and be with you guys, it's all going to be okay. Let me get warm and cozy in the fire of destruction. How often we do that? If we think about our lives, if we think about things we may say or do, we deny our Lord. And then we try to hide with the crowds. I don't really want to be known. I'm just going to try to blend in. I don't want them to know that I'm the Jesus one that loves Jesus. I'm just going to blend in here. And as he's seeking to blend in, look what takes place. Then the high priest, this is verse 19, then asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in synagogues and in the temple where the Jews always meet, and in secret I have said nothing. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. Indeed, they know what I said. And when he had said these things, one of the officers who stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, "Do you answer the high priest like that?" Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why do you strike me?" Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. So we're in a place where this is taking place. And we know, as we're going to look at the other gospel accounts, Peter's going to see this encounter, this moment. There's going to be a moment where we see our Lord look Peter in the eyes. So he would see the king struck. Perhaps that might have invoked more fear, more worry. In verse 25, Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Therefore they said to him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" And that's an interesting moment because he's standing, he's warming himself there, and it's almost like there's a chance now you could turn this around. And we have that if we think about sin in our lives or moments where we deny the Lord. No, I don't want to be known as the person who loves Jesus. Are you a believer? Oh, how's the weather? You know, we don't want to go there. I don't want to lose my job. I don't want to go there. But he denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, remember we know who it is, Malchus from John, this is a relative who was probably present there in the midst of the arrest. And he's like, "I saw you. You sliced his ear. I saw you." And Peter denied again. And immediately, a rooster crowed. Now, if we turn to Matthew, we're going to walk through just the gospel accounts of this same text because there's different things that I want to just see us and allow us through the Lord's leading to glean from this. Because if we think of what we saw, even in just the first few verses that we looked at, he associates himself with these folks as he denies. And then as he does that, he kind of reverts to some old ways, as we're going to see, because when the heat turns up, we get more in the other accounts of how he responds. And then it's that just all out denial. So Matthew 26, verse 69. Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, "You were with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you are saying." And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth." But again, he denied, and now he denies with an oath, "I do not know the man." And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, "Surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you." Because there is a set way that the Galileans would speak. There's your speech, we know it, you were there. Then he began to curse and swear, saying, "I do not know the man." Immediately, a rooster crowed. So we see in this, we get a little bit more information. We get that bit that if you think of what he was, fisherman, probably didn't always have, you know, the best way of talking and going about doing things. But how quickly he reverts to his old self when the heat is truly up, cursing and swearing, taking an oath. It just starts with that simple, "I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know him. Beep, 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 beep. I don't know him." Pure progression. Think about a psalm that paints this for us. And boy, is the Lord faithful to us, brothers and sisters, who have the word of God. Because we see these things, we see Peter's denial, but we've got a whole treasure trove of scripture to write on our hearts. Psalm 119:11, "My word I have hid, thy word I have hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." And look at what he gave us in Psalm 1. "Blessed is the man who doesn't do certain things, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." And we kind of see that progression going with Peter here, where he's moving forward with this denial deeper and deeper and deeper, because it's kind of first thing, no, I don't really know him. No, I don't know him. I don't know him. It's a progression. How do we avoid the progression? His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. We need the grounding in the word of God. We need to be anchored in the word of God. For there we see he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also does not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Not prosperity gospel, but knowing Romans 8:28, God works all things together for the good, for those who are called according to his purpose will come to fruition. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Doesn't mean it's all going to be simple. There's going to be challenges. There's going to be persecution. He tells us there's going to be persecution. But what does he also say? Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So we see the encounter in Matthew. Now let's look at Mark. Chapter 14 is where we find it in Mark. And we look at verse 66. Now, as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with Jesus of Nazareth." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you are saying." And he went out on the porch, and a rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, "This is one of them." But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, "Surely you are one of them, for you are not a Galilean, and your speech shows it." Then he began to curse and swear, "I do not know this man of whom you speak." And the second time the rooster crowed. Then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." He thought about it. He wept. The beautiful thing with Peter is the picture of restoration that we see. And we're going to see that in John 21, and then we see what happens in Acts 2. As he's used, he is restored. But notice what brings him to restoration: the word of the Lord. "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." The word of Jesus, the words of Jesus, come, they pierce. The rooster crows. He recalls these words, and he's brought to a place of repentance. He weeps, and we'll talk more about that in a moment, but just seeing from the encounter in Mark, we realize there's something that brought it, the word. I know I can sound like a broken record. Are you in the word? Are you in the word? Are you in the word? Yes, Pastor Vince, we're in the word, but are you really in the word? If I showed up at your house this week unannounced and said, "Hey, what'd you guys read as a family today in Scripture?" What would the answer be? When we did the Families for Christ series, we talked about that back, way back in the day. That's how it was. They would go in Europe and they would go to the home. And the pastor would say, what are you doing for family worship? And if the dad's there, he's like, "Oh, I don't really have a plan." All right, well, church accountability time. So we'll be starting that December 1st. No, I'm just kidding. But again, what's the relationship with the word? Men, are you watering your brides? And watering your bride isn't taking the word and, "Honey, let me take the verses that's going to show her something." No. Water helps to grow. Water helps to grow. How are you watering? How are you tending? How are you caring for? Luke 22. As we go there, and we're going to look at verses 54 to 62. And this is the one where it strikes the heart to think of this moment of eye contact that we're going to see. So we're in Luke 22. Once I hear ruffles simmer down, I'll start reading. Luke 22, verse 54. Having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house. But Peter followed at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. So in this encounter, we get something interesting. Think about when they're in the garden. And if you think about what we saw there, the Lord makes it clear, if you're here for me, let these go. Imagine if Peter was like, he said, we can go, and just left. That's what it is when you really got to listen to the word of God. Listen to the prompting of the Spirit. Listen to how he's leading to avoid the fall. Verse 56, and a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, this man was also with him. So there's a focused look, probably looking and thinking, ah, oh, I reckon, yeah, no, that's that. Yeah, he was there. He was in the garden. But he denied him, saying, woman, I do not know him. And after a little while, another saw him and said, you also are of them. But Peter said, man, I am not. Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And let's be real, in this moment, they're all there. There's probably others. The scripture focuses on these three, but others standing there, and it's like, don't you think he looks like him? Doesn't he? I really think it was him. And he's by this fire where he's going to seek warmth and comfort. But there's only one place to seek warmth and comfort, in the will of the Lord God Almighty. The fire that he's by, it's not going to keep him warm. Then, but Peter said, I do not know this man. Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. That look. And then the word comes. And we see there. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So Peter went out and wept bitterly. Now what's interesting, what I think of when I think of that, what's our eye contact with Jesus in that moment? That's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit convicts us, brings to remembrance scripture that opens the door for a decision. Do we repent or do we keep going on in what we want to do? We have a choice to make. So we go back to our account of it in John, looking at verse 25 in chapter 18. Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Therefore they said to him, you are not also one of his disciples, are you? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, said, did I not see you in the garden with him? Peter then denied again. Immediately, a rooster crowed. Fear. Fear. Peter is driven by fear. Peter is driven by focusing on self-preservation and his well-being, loyalty, forgotten. Now, think of what he said a few hours earlier. I'm with you, man. I got this. And the Lord said, what? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. I hear you. I'm going to sleep now. And then, what takes place? Denial by word. Denial by action with that oath. And then full out return to the ways before Christ. And just outright say, I don't know him. Where are you denying Jesus? If you're real with yourself, where are you denying Jesus? We come here every Sunday. It's very easy to just come and do church. come in. We got lots of love and hugs and smiles. We get our worship song. We get the message. Have a little coffee. Have some snacks. Pray. Get in the car. Go. But what's going on underneath? Because we see the cock crowed and he wept. There was sorrow. There was repentance. Because the cock crowing reminds him of something. Think about this. If this, that rooster crows and then he remembers, he sees Jesus eye to eye. He remembers the word. It's a reminder. Jesus is in control. Jesus is in control. Let me turn this around. There might be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. But what we have to get real with is, where are you denying the Lord God Almighty? One of the ways I like to think of it is if we from this body meet someone that you work with, and we're like, oh my goodness, I go to church with John. John goes to church? Yeah, he does. Okay, awkward. But for real, your neighbors, relatives, where are you with it? And you could say, well, no, I don't want to be a Bible thumper. I don't want to be this. I don't want to be that. Let me ask you this. Do you want to be a bondservant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you want to glorify God in everything you do? Then people should know you love Jesus. People should know you love him. And you know what else that means? That means if there's things at work, if there's things at a meeting that you're a part of, maybe a club that you're a part of, whatever it is, and there's things that go against the word of God, you don't idly sit by with a muzzle. I don't want to rock the boat. No, you pray. And you say, Lord, do you have me here to speak up in this moment? And that's between you and the Lord. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death. The rooster crowing, Peter wept. That's a sorrow that leads to repentance. In this, we have two deniers foretold at the same meal. Peter, Judas. One is restored, one is not. The restoration only comes through the word of the Lord and saying, Father, forgive me. And then not letting the enemy put shame on you after you've repented. You've got too many times where you repent, you let this go, and then you let the enemy torture you rather than walking forward in the freedom you have in Jesus unto obedience. How do you do that? How did Peter move forward boldly? He was filled with the Holy Spirit. If you look at the beginning of Acts, the Holy Spirit comes, now indwells, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, boom, boldly goes forth. His word, his spirit, his way. You need to commune with the Holy Spirit. Because if you're trying to have a relationship with God where you're not asking the Holy Spirit to fill you, to lead you, to guide you, what are you doing? It's the Spirit and Word that bring about the renewal and the boldness of the Lord God Almighty. How are you denying the Lord? Is it in passive word lightly? Is it in oaths? Is it in behavior like we saw with his cursing? You can either deny or you can get that boldness from our King. For this week, the charge, the thing to take to your prayer closet and pray through with the Lord and ask him to search you is to ponder and pray about denial in your life. Where are you denying Jesus? And as you do that, seek restoration. Get in the Word. Seek that filling of his Spirit. Ponder and pray denial. Seek restoration. Ponder and pray denial. Seek restoration. Are you Christian by name or by life? This is what we have to ask ourselves. And we have an opportunity. The decorations started going up, I think I saw some in June. Christmas. It's around the corner. Are you taking the opportunity? Take it. I don't want to embarrass myself. What is the likelihood you're going to see that person in line again? And if you do, praise the Lord. It's a God-ordained moment to say, did you think about what I told you? Can I give you a Bible for Christmas? You know, it's Jesus' birthday. Santa's not real. Okay, so I'm that parent. All right, so think on these things. Meditate on these things. Because brothers and sisters, we've been talking in this body about the need for boldness. It only comes through the Holy Spirit, through the Lord. That's why we're doing these house of prayer gatherings. The Lord's laid on the heart. We as a body need to come together and pray and call on the name of the Lord together in one accord for his will to be done. And in our country right now, many people can say, look at this thing, look at that, look at this. Well, what are we doing? We've got the answer. If you just sit there and say, you're denying Jesus. Because you're not saying, Father, fill me, empower me to make headway where you have me for your glory, for your name's sake. Because it's not about us. It's about him. And the clock is ticking. He can come for his bride at any moment. But what are you going to be found doing? Are you going to be found living in obedience and living as he calls and boldly going forth, I love Jesus? Are you going to have that, get rid of the, just get rid of it. If you need prayer, we have prayer counselors up here at the end of service. I can pray with you. We've got other pastors. We've got Pastor David. We've got Pastor Jeff. If you need prayer, come get prayer. Don't also just dart out and leave. We got our elders too. They're available. Let's not be consumers. Let's be engaged. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus. Father, through this denial of Peter and the restoration to come, Lord, we really see the power of the cross, your word, and your Spirit. Lord Jesus, all of us have ways that we forsake you for fear, for worry, for pride, for so many reasons, Lord. Help us, Jesus, to let you search us. Lord, help us to draw closer towards you and what you desire, Lord. For Lord, you made us in your own image. That was the design. And the fall, Lord, ushered in so much, and your love ushered in even more with a Savior, Jesus. Lord, help us to lean in. Help us to seek you more. Help us to repent. Help us to seek that filling of the Spirit. Lord, that we would have the mind of Christ, as we see in Philippians 2, in humble obedience, even unto death, to you, our King. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray these things. Amen. Have a wonderful afternoon.